Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, as we look back into 2017, ladies and gentlemen, from a national perspective, President Trump has defied all odds, and in spite of the opposition and the treacherous corruption of the deep state against him, as well as the feckless opposition from the establishment of both the Democrat and the Republican side, a lot has been accomplished, and very significant things. The question is, what will this year, 2018, bring forth? So our theme for today's program is this: a new year, but what direction? And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap today, this second day of 2018. I'm Sam Rohrer, and I'm going to be joined today with two good friends and co-hosts, Evangelist Dave Kistler, president of our North Carolina Pastors Network, and also president of Hope to the Hill Ministries, located in Washington, D.C., and Dr. Gary Dahl, executive director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and senior pastor of Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania. Our special guest for the entire program today is Bill Koenig. He is White House correspondent. He's the founder of World Watch Daily. He's also an evangelist of the gospel who will walk with us today throughout all of this subject matter on, I think, what you'll find to be a very enlightening and an appropriate program to begin this year. But before I bring in Dave, Gary, and Bill, let me lay out the program roadmap for you today so you have an idea of where we're going to go. In segment two, we're going to consider a statement by a leading rabbi in Israel that just said last week that the drought in Israel, which now it's a five-year drought, that the drought in Israel will not be fixed by prayer, but by obedience to God's word and the rebuilding of the temple. Interesting. We're going to talk about that. In segment three, we're going to look at prophecy likely to be fulfilled on the horizon here in 2018. Then in our last segment, we're going to take all of these things and the information that's discussed on this program and answer the question, in light of these things, how then should we live in 2018? You don't want to miss any of today's program, and we're glad that you're with us. Now, one more thing. I want to welcome the listening audience of WAVA 780 AM in Washington, D.C., covering all of Northern Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, and actually up to Southern Pennsylvania, where, as I am sitting here in my offices here, can actually listen to the program all the way up here into Pennsylvania. This program airs on drive time, 3 to 4 p.m., and we're so glad that all of you new listeners are with us and are a part of the growing network of stations across the nation, now just under 450, who carry Stand in the Gap today. Well, man, let's jump right into this theme for today, a new year, but what direction? And with that, I want to welcome officially now to the program Bill Koenig. He is the founder of World Watch Daily. And Bill, let me start right off with you if we can here. Without dispute, the United States and the President of the United States has more to do with the direction of the world and other nations, as far as that goes, than probably any single person. That bully pulpit of the U.S. presidency is just extraordinary. Based on where the president went in 2017, Bill, where do you think the Trump administration will lead this nation and the world in 2018 in a general sense, without getting too much into the detail? Where do you think we're going in 2018?
Well, Sam, I think it'll be more of the same that we saw in 2017. We see an independent president that's unpredictable. I think the international community did not exactly know how to take him. The G7, the largest economies in the world, as well as the globalists, the One World Order people, like the leaders of Germany, France, the UK, other major nations of the world, you know, expect the United States to kind of fall in line with the rest of them. But Trump went right off the bat, told NATO, look, we got 24 or 28 countries that haven't paid what they've obligated to, paying for NATO's, you know, business. And he was able to get over $7 billion from companies that were in arrears when it came to their fees. Also, the as far as trade deals, you know, he's going to look at every one of them individually and independently. And also, when it comes to the Paris Climate Accord, he took his own course there as well, despite incredible international pressure. So I think, Sam, just to summarize those key points, as well as confronting North Korea and the risk that it is, as well as confronting Iran in the Middle East, we have a president that has no problem taking positions. Status of Jerusalem is a prime example. And I think we'll see more of the same of that in 2018. And a lot of us favor this because these are areas that our leadership in Washington, D.C. has fallen in line rather than taking that full leadership responsibility that it should and really putting our country first.
Bill, it's a delight to have you with us again as we go into the new year. And, you know, it's interesting to see the leaders that we have in the world today, both here in the United States of America as well as across the globe. And we're talking about Donald Trump. But if you were to consider other key leaders to watch in 2018, who might they be?
In my last news report, Gary, I identified 15 people that I'll be watching closely that will determine the situation in the Middle East as well as the world in the year ahead. We can start with the top five. I think those are the most important. Number one would be Trump. Number two would be President Putin of Russia. Number three, I think Erdogan from Turkey is going to have a very significant role. Number four or five, you can put those two together, Rouhani, the president of Iran, and also the supreme leader, Khamenei. And then when it comes to the European, Merkel and Macron, Macron's going to push hard to try to bring peace to Israel and the Middle East, and that'll be very interesting in the light of Trump's recent decision on Jerusalem. And then obviously King Abdullah from Jordan, Prince Salman from Saudi Arabia will have a significant role. The Chinese president always will have a position. I think Ambassador Haley is going to continue to be a very significant voice. And then, obviously, the leader of North Korea is one of great concern as well. And you can always put the Japanese prime minister because of the nature of their country and the risks that it's facing with North Korea. And so that's pretty much kind of a roundup of the major players. I think the most distinctive ones will obviously be the United States, Russia, Turkey, Iran, and yes, I forgot, Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. Those will be the five or six that I have the most interest in following. And you can put the Saudi prince in there as well, Salman.
Well, Bill, you put quite a list here before us. And I think as we continue on in this program and through the balance of this year, as we're just starting it, all of those areas that you have discussed, all of those names, are going to be somewhere in this list because they all play a very, very key role. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Sam Rohr, special guest Bill Koenig of World Watch Daily, along with Gary Dahl and David Kistler. When we come back, we are going to go to Israel and to a rabbi talking about what should be happening there relative to the building of the temple. Anyways, stay with us. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap Today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com. Our theme for this first month of 2018 is New Beginnings. Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, God." There's no better place to start than in the beginning, since only God was there. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and a timely Stand in the Gap Minute, urging you to start this year out right. Without God, there's no reason for living, no purpose in breathing. Without God, there's no life, no future, no hope. If you don't know Jesus, God in the flesh, personally, then accept Him without delay. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, are you serving Him with your whole heart? Is He your highest priority? Are you living your life purposely and intentionally for Him? Are you forsaking the world and embracing Him alone? January marks a new month and starts a new year for all of us. Let's start this year off right. Could I ask you to consider standing with us also in prayer and finances this year? Consider adding your name to our email list at standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you back to Stand in the Gap Today. And our theme for this section here is going to be relative to building of the temple. Now, since President Trump's announcement on December the 6th, recognizing Jerusalem as the rightful and eternal capital of Israel, the enemies of Israel and the United States, in the form of multiple votes by the United Nations in the last weeks, have come out in force. The Iranian parliament just last week voted by a unanimous vote, declared Jerusalem to be the eternal capital of the non-existent state of Palestine. In many respects, the prophecy of Zechariah 12:3, which says that Jerusalem will become a burdensome stone for all the nations, and says that the nations will gather against Jerusalem, was actually in part fulfilled with all the United Nations votes against Israel and Jerusalem in just the last few weeks. Yet also in Jerusalem, a particular rabbi is hearkening to a passage in the Old Testament book of Haggai that states that the reason there is drought in Israel is because the temple has not been built. And rather than pray for rain, the people need to start rebuilding the temple. So we're going to look at this event and its potential significance here in 2018. With that, I want to welcome back to the program here today, Bill Koenig of World Watch Daily. Bill, let me start right off with you here in this regard. Without dispute at all, the United States and the President of the United States has more to do with the direction of the world, at least at this point in time, than any other nation or perhaps person. But based on where President Trump went in 2017, where do you think the administration will be headed and will lead this nation and the world in 2018?
Well, I think two parts, Sam. I think you have the international, the global climate control, the trade deals, those kind of things. But the one that probably is most captivating for me is what President Trump is going to do with Iran, along with his friend Benjamin Netanyahu, and those two leaders and their countries in preparation for what Iran's plan are for the Middle East. This is going to absolutely be a fascinating area for us to follow.
Bill, let me ask you this. There's been a number of promises President Trump made when he was running as a candidate. He has fulfilled a great many of those promises. One of those, of course, was this promise to acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of the nation of Israel. And how do you see that factoring into the rebuilding of the temple? And I mean, from this perspective, Bill, I was there in Jerusalem not long ago and visited the Temple Institute. We were told by the tour guide there that they have all the materials ready in hand to rebuild the temple if they were just given permission or had the occasion to do so. So how close could we actually be to a third temple being rebuilt on Temple Mount?
Well, you know, Gary, as you know from being there at the Temple Mount Institute, you know, Haim Richmond and the others, they've accumulated all the utensils and everything that they need for that construction of the temple. And I think at this point, they're being very quiet about the red heifer. They had one a couple years ago. They thought that would be the perfect red heifer, but it gained some gruesome white hairs, so that was disqualified. So the red heifer obviously is a key component, too. Part of the problem putting a third temple there is you've got two mosques. You've got the Dome of the Rock and the Alaska Mosque that are on top of the Temple Mount. So obviously there's probably, as Hal Lindsey would say over the years, there is no more valuable, controversial, I'm paraphrasing a bit for what Hal said, but the 34 acres on the Temple Mount is the most substantial, most important, most prophetically important piece of land in the world. It is where our, as far as we know, our Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, will reign from there. And obviously with the tension between the Western Wall, the original temples, and the fact you have those two mosques on top of that, is a rallying cry. Anytime, I mean, if the word got out right now that the Israelis want to put a third temple up there, I mean, this will hit the Arab street like you can't believe. And every time Abbas would start feeling like he's being left alone and not getting attention, he would raise the point that Israel's trying to take that land for their third temple, and it would be a spark throughout the Middle East and throughout the world. So those are all key factors. One point here, Gary, also that's important is President Trump said Israel's government offices are in Jerusalem. And all our capitals, I mean, all our embassies are in the capitals of the cities that we are that participate in. Secondly, that's why we need to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So number one, acknowledging reality, and number two, saying we need to be consistent. And then he also emphasized that the Senate earlier in 2017 voted 90-0 in favor of having our embassy in the city of Jerusalem. So this is huge, and as Sam mentioned, Zechariah 12:3 and that whole Zechariah 12:3 area, 12:9, is very substantial and a very significant final day prophetic scripture.
Now, Bill, let's go back right here, because a couple days ago, in an interview with one of the news medias over there, Arutz Shiva, a Rabbi Ariel, said there, he's the rabbi there in Jerusalem, he said this, quote, "At the beginning of the Second Temple period, before the Second Temple was built, and the Jews brought their sacrifices into the courtyard, Haggai the prophet said that when there is an arid year with no rain, the reason is that the Holy Temple has not yet been built. So instead of awakening, we're going to visit the Western Wall and pray." So he's asking that. They've had 5 years of drought, he's saying. So instead of awakening to that revelation, are we going just to the Western Wall and pray? He goes on and says, "Each person lives in their own private home, but the Gentiles are crowing in our Holy Temple. How do our ears not hear this?" End quote. Now, Bill, I want to ask you relative to this theme here about Israeli rabbi talking about the temple. I know that you, Bill, believe that the president's announcement about Jerusalem is very significant. And I would imagine that you noted Rabbi Ariel's statement with some interest. How significant is his statement, and what might it mean here for 2018?
Well, what's interesting in the past, Sam, especially the last, since the Oslo peace process began in 93, when the Israeli leaders would make a specific statement, the land of Israel, the Abrahamic covenant land, is a gift from God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. And when they stood strong on that, the rains came. Two other incidents over that period of time since 93, Israel was in a very severe drought period, and when they, the leaders of Israel, made those statements, Netanyahu the last time, when he was running for election a couple years ago, I mean, the rains were enormous. So the land definitely has a connection to the land. The rains definitely have a connection to the land of Israel, and then, even more so, the Temple Mount, the significance of the Temple Mount, it's fascinating to me. I definitely think there may be something to that. They did have some really significant rains. A friend of mine's meteorologist just wrote me, said they had significant rains this weekend, right after the prayer, but they need a lot more days like that, Sam, in order to take care of this massive drought. Some say the worst drought they've had in 40 years. So there's definitely a biblical, scriptural, supernatural connection to all of this that we talked about today.
You know, Bill, it's very interesting. Sam mentioned the book of Haggai a little bit when talking about what Rabbi Ariel was speaking of in his message. And, you know, I can't help but think in that first chapter, twice in Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 and 7, he says to the people of Israel, consider your ways, because they were doing their own thing and not building up the temple. And my question to you is that we have heard recently that many of the people over in Israel are starting to look to the Old Testament prophets regarding some of the things that are taking place in Israel as well as its future. And so my question to you, is this really taking place on a regular basis, particularly with Benjamin Netanyahu and the leaders of the Knesset and so forth? Did they look back into the Old Testament prophets to determine what to do today or what the future of Israel is going to be?
They haven't, but I've had friends. Matter of fact, even my book, Eye to Eye, was given to Benjamin Netanyahu a month and a half ago by one of his dear friends. He'd received the book from me in 2005, but he received the updated copy of Eye to Eye that's biblical and scriptural. I mean, it focuses on it, the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu, during his time as prime minister, again, a Bible study with his son on Saturday afternoon of Shabbat. He has been more open to having rabbis involved. I think they're being drawn in more so now than ever. Netanyahu obviously appreciates the Jewish prophets and the significance of the land. But I think what's happening right now, Gary, is they're really beginning to start looking to the scriptures for a better understanding of what's going on. I have two Orthodox Jewish friends that I work with at the White House, and they study the Talmud and the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. But when something happens in Israel, the Middle East, they come to me and said, where is that in the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament? And I just find that humorous, because I'm there to explain to them out of their Old Testament what to watch for from this point going forward.
Bill, that's just a tremendous thing. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr with co-host Dave Kistler and Gary Dahl and our special guest, Bill Koenig of World Watch Daily. We are going to come back after the break, and we're going to go further into the issue of prophecy, and we're going to look at how things are happening in the Middle East and how all these pieces are being fit together as we begin this new year here in 2018. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. And at this point in the program, we'd like to welcome all of you who are listening, whether you've just tuned in now at the midpoint of the program or been with us from the beginning. We thank you very much. We appreciate the fact that you are investing your time with us as we consider the events of the day from a biblical perspective. And we want you to know that if you have not done so, we encourage you to take and download our free app. You can put that on your phone. Most people have an iPhone today. You can download the app. Just go to the store and just put in Stand in the Gap. You can download our app. You can listen to this program then wherever you are. And you can also pick up and listen to it after it's been played, because we post it on that site just a couple of hours later after the program is done. We encourage you to do that. And while you're there, you can visit other places on our site. You can also share with us and walk with us financially and helping us to undergird this program as it's now carried on about 450 stations across the nation. And so we're thankful for your listening today and being a part of us on this program. Now let's go into this next segment here. We're talking here in the overall theme here, a new year, but what direction? This theme here in this segment, we're going to call prophecy and what we're going to see. Now, as we say regularly on Stand in the Gap today, you cannot interpret the events of the day until you hold the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other. And in our nation, that must mean that you also must hold the Constitution, as it directly relates to all matters that are here within the United States. You know, it's not a political process, as much as a biblical necessity for us here in this country to avoid being like the unbelieving Jews of Jesus' day, who, while they could predict the next day based on the sky of the night before, they were totally blind to the work of God and his unfolding plan. Because we don't understand God's plan on what we're seeing, it can be very fatal, truly fatal. So in this segment, we're going to look at the most likely upcoming events about which Scripture clearly speaks that should drive our interest and our understanding as we move into 2017, this year before us, and in keeping with our theme for, or 2018 rather, I got to change gears, ladies and gentlemen, it's a year ahead, and in keeping with our theme for today's program, a new year, but what direction? We want to focus here now on the likely prophetical direction that things may go in 2018. So Bill Koenig, I want to welcome you back in. Bill is the founder of World Watch Daily. And Bill, you've been with us many times on Stand in the Gap today, and we've talked many times and things about the Middle East. That's why we're focusing some of that attention here, because really God's clock revolves around the Middle East. And so that's why we're starting this, really this first major day here of this year, in that fashion. But let me ask you first in this segment, as you note what's been happening over the last years and what appears to be unfolding as we speak, what do you believe to be the most important next prophetical event to occur, and why? What should we be looking for from that perspective as we enter into this new year?
You know, Sam, I think in our last segment, we discussed the increased interest in the Bible and what the Bible has to say by Jewish people in Israel and around the world. I think this is a good ramp up to what I'm watching. But we've got to remember that the Bible specifically in Zechariah 12:10 speaks to the time. It says here, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and he shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." I think what we're seeing right now in Israel is a buildup, a greater understanding in the Orthodox Jews of following the Bible. There's 100,000 Jews now around the world that study the prophetic scriptures of the Old Testament. I'm very connected to those folks, and this is fantastic. And also the fact that they have over 100 secular yeshivas that aren't religious, but they're studying what the Torah has, what the Torah says, and even that in the Old Testament. So we're seeing the ramp of interest, with Jerusalem being God's time clock, as spoken of here in 12:3, 12:9, and then here, Zechariah 12:10, where the inhabitants of Israel will recognize he who they have pierced, meaning Jesus Christ. So I think we're continuing to move in that direction, Sam and Gary and Dave. And I think that what's exciting now for this year, and I think the exciting, expectant, is what the United States and Israel is going to do with the number one threat in the Middle East, and that is Iran. And they are ramping up the level of cooperation between the U.S. intel and Israel's intel, as well as both militaries, is at an unprecedented level. We've never had a president that has been more supportive and willing to stand strong for Israel than Donald Trump. And I think this is going to be the news story of the year, is what is going to happen with Iran.
Bill, I think you make a very great point there. We see that developing before our eyes. It's hard to quantify exactly, but it's moving. So that's where you're saying we should look. Dave Kiss, let me go to you right now. You're an evangelist, and you're regularly crisscrossing this country. You're preaching, and I know you do a lot of things on the prophetical. You're talking about what we should be looking towards and how we should be getting ourselves ready as the church and as individuals and so forth. I want to go to you right now and say, from your perspective, as you are preaching and crisscrossing this country, what are you telling people, telling our listeners right now, they should most keep their eyes out for from a prophetical perspective or events that are next to occur and perhaps could occur soon?
Well, Sam, we've talked in great detail with a number of geopolitical experts, Bill being one of them, in times past, about this alignment of the nations that is taking place, that is referenced in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 38. There's a multiplicity of nations listed there. Magog, which is believed by most Bible scholars to be modern-day Russia, Persia, which is modern-day Iran, Gomer, which is Eastern Europe, Togomar, which is modern-day Turkey. And this alignment of nations, Sam, is something I am encouraging people to keep their eyes on, because we know this is a time will occur, this alignment that comes down against Israel, these nations, occurs during what's called the seven-year tribulation period. So as we see these nations align, as one who believes in a pre-tribulation rapture, it means God's church has to be taken out before this coming down of these nations against Israel occurs. So I am pointing people to those passages, that passage and others like it, trying to draw their attention to that, saying we need to be prepared ourselves for the coming of Christ. We need to be getting those around us who do not know the Lord prepared as well.
Bill, let me go back to you, if I can, here right now, because Dave mentioned it. He mentioned Turkey. He mentioned Russia. He talked about the alignment of nations. And from a prophetical perspective, that alignment of nations is a, well, something that should get our attention. I'd like to go here with you now at this point. Turkey has now just purchased a multi-billion dollar missile defense system from Russia. Now, that means that Turkey doesn't really fit any longer with NATO. It's moving. Fit that likely move from Turkey, from the West, NATO, into the arms of Russia and Iran, since they're linked. Fit that into the prophetical picture and how that may affect the days ahead of us.
Well, just like Dave aligned the nations that will be part of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 contingency, I think the number one group of players is obviously Putin of Russia, Erdogan of Turkey, Khamenei slash Rouhani of Iran. Matter of fact, Rouhani, Erdogan, and Putin met in Sochi, Russia, a couple weeks ago to plan the future for Syria. And Iran is continuing their aggressive pursuit of economic help for the country of Syria. They're also moving military equipment in that Israel keeps taking out. And those players right there, Putin, Erdogan, Rouhani slash Khamenei, those guys have a lot to do with the acceleration and catalytic acceleration of final day events. What's fascinating is President Trump has surrounded himself with people that fully understand the Iranian threat, starting with Vice President Pence. CIA Director Pompeo is probably one of the most outspoken members of Congress against the Iran nuke deal. General Mattis was relieved from position when he was speaking against the Iran nuke deal during his time serving the Obama administration. And then you have probably nobody in the Middle East understands the Iranian threat more than Benjamin Netanyahu. And the fact that we have a high level of cooperation right now between the United States and Israel, and also the Saudis, because the Saudis believe that they would be number two after Iran nukes Israel, they would be number two. So obviously they're becoming a partner and a player in this as well. So I think the key right now, as far as acceleration, a lot of it's going to be in the hands of Putin and Erdogan. But at the same time, President Trump might do some things that are aggressive that might be catalytic as well.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, if you're not really excited and motivated about what 2018 holds for us, you're probably not really alert. This is going to be an exciting and a big year. We believe prophetically, we believe historically, all kinds of things. Now, when we come back with this next segment, we're going to focus on the theme of then, in light of all these things, how should we live in 2018? What difference does all of this make? If it's just a titillator ears, it means nothing. It should change how we live. We'll talk about that when we come right back.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The Handy Guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we continue our general theme for today, a new year, but what direction? We're going to focus here in this last segment on the basic theme of how should we then live in this year of 2018. On this program, we avoid speculation and silly predictions. We know that there are many religious types out there, radio and TV and internet programs, that are quick to grab a headline and position it as something sensational or titillating or ear-tickling. We resist that kind of thing here on this program because just selling a book or a DVD is not our goal. Communicating the truth of God's Word wisely and rightly dividing the Word of Truth is our commitment and our goal. And in the end, we believe that our biblical duties as Christians, and all of you listening today, is obedience to the Word of God, to be careful to let our light shine so that others can see the transforming work of Christ and in and through our lives, and then through that, repent and submit to Christ. So in the fourth segment of this program, this solution segment, we often refer to it as, we try to bring our brief discussion to the point of application. And Gary, I want to go to you right now. You've been a pastor for over 40 years. That's something distinctive from all of us in this program today. You're a co-host on Stand in the Gap Today. You're a part of the APN team. Your counsel is credible. You are sought out by many to give counsel. I want to ask you, from God's Word and life experience, and based on what Bill and Dave have already identified in this last segment as to what they believe will be the most important next prophetical events to occur, perhaps this year, how should every person who is listening to this program right now respond? In other words, in light of the fact we see all of these things happening around the world, things that prophecy has been talking about, how should the average person who's listening to this program now, how should their life be changed as a result of these things?
Well, Sam, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14 gives that answer, and it says, wake up, get up, live up, and dress up. Verse 11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. That's wake up. Verse 12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. That is get up. Verse 13, let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. That is, live up and live up spiritually. And then verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. That is, dress up with Christ. And here's the point. I think that in seeing all of these things come together, we can say without a doubt that we are getting very close to the return of the Lord Jesus. And here at Stand in the Gap, we believe that the next prophetic event, great prophetic event, is the rapture, described there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take his church home to be with him. And then those who aren't born again and saved, who will not be going to heaven with Christ, will go into the great tribulation period for 7 years, a time of trouble such as the world has never known. So therefore, I believe that everybody under the sound of our voices today should, number one, make sure that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, folks, I would say to you, make sure that you know the Lord Jesus. And then as a Christian, make sure that you are living the kind of a life that Christ would have you to live for two reasons. Number one, that you might be a witness to those around you. And then secondly, that you might hear those words from our Lord Jesus when you see him face to face. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. These are exciting times, and it's important that we are living according to biblical truth.
Gary, just excellent in those few minutes there, a tremendous exposition and encouragement. Bill, let me go back to you now as we wrap up the program today. From your perspective, as a Christian, as a news correspondent, as an evangelist, how are the realities of what we are seeing occur around us today in 2018? How are they affecting your life? And are you living differently? And if so, how? Apply it to our listeners today.
Well, I've been studying prophecy actively for 20 years, Sam. And I love to see the Lord do things in my family's life, my life, other friends' lives, other people's lives, an active, personal relationship with our Messiah, Jesus, as we see the Holy Spirit lead us, guide us, direct us, and protect us is always a blessing. But to watch Bible prophecy play out as it was written 2,000 plus years ago by the Jewish prophets and then spoke of by Jesus Christ at the Olivet Discourse is the icing in the cake. It's so exciting to be living in the most exciting time in biblical history. And with a great possibility that us, our generation, is going to see our Lord's return to Jerusalem to begin his thousand-year millennial reign. So I just praise God for the opportunity to live like this. And Gary just hit it over the nickel seats. It was just right on what we should be doing in preparation for that great moment that could be coming soon.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do believe that great moment is coming soon, and I hope that you are ready for the Lord's return, and that's trusting him as Savior. That's the most important thing. You know, redeemed life, that's only through Jesus Christ, and it'll be good for all who come to him. David Kistler, can I ask you to pray just briefly as we wrap up this program?
Father, we thank you for the discussion today, and thank you that your word is crystal clear, that what things are written in the scripture are written for our admonition, our encouragement, that we through patience of the scriptures might have hope. And so, Lord, may those who know you that have listened today take hope from what they've heard. May those who do not yet know you as Savior be challenged to come to you before it is eternally too late, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us here in this beginning of 2018. Join us again tomorrow here for Stand in the Gap today. You don't want to miss a day of this program. God bless you. Stand for Him.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stand in the Gap today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light, and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.